Well, here's the moment. Friday night into Saturday morning, Full Moon Friday, open lines. And they begin in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, here we are back on Coast to Coast time. It's Bobby in Arlington, Texas. Bobby, let's go back a little bit. You might as well start your story all over again. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, like I told you before, I've never told anybody this because it's afraid they'd lock me up, for one thing. Take away my certifications, you know, then I don't want somebody teaching paramedics, you know, how to save lives when this is going on.
Sure.
Or he thinks it's going on. But then I got to thinking, well, with your show, I can at least get it off my chest, and it's a happy thing, but it's something that probably maybe 90% of the people won't believe. But if I am in some kind of dream or some kind of state that isn't good for me, I'll take it any day. But what happened was my wife had been gone for 2 years. I hadn't gotten over it. And I decided that I was going to take care of the person that caused it. And I had set the alarm for 4 because I knew that the routine.
Oh my gosh. And, you had this planned out.
Go ahead.
You had this planned out, Bobby, didn't you?
Oh, I had it written down.
Jesus.
And in my desk where it would be found afterwards, you know, the whole thing. And where my friends would know and everybody would know, you know, and because I was going to take full responsibility. And but anyway, the alarm goes off. I shave, shower, go downstairs, and I heard somebody in the kitchen, or heard a rattling in the kitchen, and I have a old-timey swinging full-length door that goes into my kitchen, and the light was on underneath it, and I couldn't imagine who might be there. I mean, some friends of mine, they do have keys to my home.
Okay.
Because you know, they were coming by, especially right afterwards.
But you were pretty convinced somebody was in the house, right?
Oh, they were in there. I opened the door, and my wife is standing there.
Oh, my.
And she's got the most beautiful smile. Of course, she always did. And those beautiful eyes. And I start shaking from one. I guess my hair was shaking. And she kind of rushed over to me and took my hand. I could feel her. And we went into the living room, sat on the couch, and she calmed me down. And I'm still thinking in my mind that this is the most vivid dream I've ever had. And so she finally calms me down. I've got tears coming down my face, and I'm wiping them. And she says, "You never have a Kleenex." And goes in the kitchen, comes back with a box of Kleenex, hands it to me, and I've got that. And she starts telling me, you know, as Becky would, that you can't do this. This is going
she,
to
she knew. She knew what you were, yeah, she knew
yeah.
what you were going to do.
She knew everything. And, of course, you know, I knew she was right. And so I accepted, you know, that finally. And she hugged me, and I hugged her. I could feel her. I could see her. I could hear her. I could touch her, everything. And
she saved you, Bobby. She saved your life, for crying out loud, didn't she?
Yeah, and that wasn't really the end of it. She said that for this, we had a special week every year. And she asked me, "You remember our special week?" And I said, "Well, of course I remember our special week." She said, "I can come back if you want me to, or you can go on with your life." And of course, having her back, if I'm crazy for a week, then that's a great place to be.
It sure is.
So that week came about 2 weeks ago, and she spent the week with me. And like I said, we never left the house or anything, but she was right there. And I know I'm not nuts, or I don't believe I am, you know, because my whole life is turned around because of that.
It makes you feel better You're not nuts, Bobby.
I don't think I'm completely nuts, you know, but I'm probably a little bit off, but I'm a fun kind of guy off.
Well,
but anyway, like I said, it was an amazing thing. And I just wonder if anybody else has something like that.
Well, we shall find out. And no more feelings of what you were going to do. They're gone now, right?
It was like, you know, it reminded me of the end of Ben-Hur when he told the girl he was in love with that he felt the knife taken from his hand.
Yeah.
And that's the way, that's the thing that, has always jumped in my head when I think about it. And the rest of it, whether anybody believes it or not, doesn't really matter, but it's something that they might be offered one day, and it's not a bad way to go through life.
Not at all. And Bobby, I'm glad you found some peace here with that incredible story. Next up, let's go to Los Angeles. Hey, Heather, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you? All right?
I'm great. Yes, great. I have two miraculous stories, but I don't know if you have time for both.
Give me the one you like the best.
Well, it would have to be about my dad, who actually, he passed away on my birthday more than a few years. And, anyway, I inherited his television. So I just moved into a new place and I was trying to rearrange. Now this television was one of the old, I can't really probably say the name brand, but it was
That's all right.
Okay, it was a big like Sony Triniton, and it's it's a huge, very, very heavy. It takes like two men to pick it up.
Well, a piece of furniture.
Yeah, it was just huge. So it's with my daughter, and I was trying to move the TV to accommodate like a DVD player or something to make it all fit. And anyway, what had happened was all of a sudden this TV just came crashing down onto my head. Then it hit my shoulder. It hit then my right side. And then all of my right leg, and then finally crashed on my foot. Okay, anyone else, I think, would have been dead. I didn't even get knocked out. I came completely unscathed, and I just can't explain it. So I think it was my dad.
It had to be. He was part of it, tried to save you, and he did. Kathy is in Portland, Oregon. First-time caller. Hi, Kathy. Go ahead.
Hi there. In 1996, I had to put my mom in a nursing home due to her health. And that summer, a very close friend of mine sent me a bunch of pictures, snapshots and things. And I always had trouble finding a Christmas gift for her husband because I really didn't know him very well. But there was one picture in this group that was particularly pretty, and it was the husband and their little girl sitting on the bank of a river, and they were fishing. So I thought, well, I'm going to frame it, blow it up, and send that as a Christmas gift.
Neat idea.
Yeah, so I put it away. And I never mentioned this to my mother, and I went to see her every day. Well, in August of 96, she finally passed away. And that November came, and I was looking around for these things to do for Christmas and buying presents and so on. And I remembered this picture. Unfortunately, I couldn't find it. And I tore the house apart. I mean, I looked through every drawer and I just looked everywhere.
And you hadn't blown it up yet then as a gift?
I hadn't done that yet. No. I had just, with the letter, I had just slipped it in something and I couldn't find it. And so I searched and searched and searched. And I thought, okay, it's at work. It's got to be in my desk at work. So I went to work and I tore that apart, nothing. And I was really, really, really getting frustrated and disappointed. And I went to bed one night and I had just about given up, thinking, oh, I'm going to have to find something for Dawn, something else. And I was really a little weepy about this. I was really looking forward to doing this because I thought it would be really nice. And as I went to bed, I went to sleep finally. And I heard my mother's voice as clear as if she was standing over me. And she said, look in the Bible, dummy.
That's right and there.
It woke me wide awake. And I went out to the bookcase, and there it was. Now, how did that lady know where this picture was?
And did you put it there? Were you the one?
I put it there. I'd slipped the letter with the picture in it into this Bible, and it was in the back of the bookcase. And I just never thought to look there.
You never would have found it.
I never would have found it. Eventually, pick up the Bible. But she, look in the Bible, dummy. It was five words. That's all she said. And it was there. And so I know she's looking over me.
She sure is. It's a good feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It really is a good feeling. But I can't imagine, since she wasn't actually in the home during any of that, how could she know?
They always know on the other side. They do. Hey, thanks for the story. Let's go to Hamden, Connecticut. Jay, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Jay.
Hi, George. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you.
I'm a former inmate in Connecticut prisons, and that's where I learned about your show. And I have to say, on behalf of all Connecticut inmates, Coast to Coast has helped us get through many long nights in prison. So thank you very much for that.
Oh, you're welcome, Jack. We get lots of letters. I get a lot of personal letters from inmates who are in prisons all around this country. And I hope all of you the best, and that you're able, when you get out, if they get out, that you can rehabilitate yourself and go on and have a great life.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I've been trying to do. Good. And I guess one thing that's encouraged me to call you tonight is, George, you're a very open-minded person, and that's something that you should be commended for. And I guess I've heard you talk about prisoners before, and correct me if I'm wrong, but overall you believe that most prisoners can be rehabilitated.
Yes.
But you don't believe that internet pedophiles can be rehabilitated. Is that correct?
Well, I didn't get into the specifics of internet. I just said pedophiles.
Oh, just said pedophiles. Okay.
Right. Yeah, I have a very difficult time thinking that they can be rehabilitated. But
okay. Well, and that's what I wanted to talk to you about today, because, George, unfortunately, I do fall into that category. And
What did you do? Can I ask you?
Yeah, I have had some illegal images on my computer.
Okay.
Child pornography.
All right.
And I've had some other issues, too, but I'm not going to go into significant detail about them. I have not molested anybody, but nonetheless, I am in the child predator category.
Do you think, Jay, you were capable of molesting someone, a child?
You know, I'll always be capable of that. And that's part of the treatment process.
Sure. When you were growing up as a kid, as a young man, as a boy, did you get molested?
I was not molested, no.
You were not. What was the trigger that got you into this area? Something had to have happened.
What happened was, there are different triggers to my offense nature. However, I can tell you that I've dealt with deviant thoughts and fantasies since my early teen years. And unfortunately, I chose to make bad decisions and not manage those in proper ways, which led me to choose to break the law.
Would you say you had a pretty good upbringing as a kid, or a bad one?
I had a very good upbringing. My parents are the most loving, wonderful people on the face of this earth.
Okay.
They believe in unconditional love, and that's something that I believe in as well.
All right.
And I guess what my biggest, point that I want to say, too, is that, first of all, this does not justify my behavior or anybody else's behavior. But with that being said, there are two sides to every story. As far as the type of things that I've had to go through in my life, and the difficulties and the bad decisions that I've made because of these difficulties in my own life.
Well, there's no question about that, Jay. And I hope one day you prove me wrong in terms of my thoughts about that. Because I really want prisoners You know, I'm not talking about people go out and murder people and stuff like that, obviously. But
right.
I really want people that when they finally get out of prison to get their lives together, to get rehabilitated. I've got a friend of mine. He was a security guy in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a great guy. I mean, he would watch over people at clubs and stuff, make sure everybody was okay. But he had some priors when he was a young person growing up in the inner city. Nobody dealt him a great hand. And so he had priors, and apparently he had a gun. He wasn't supposed to.
Ooh.
He had it in his house. And apparently somebody had called the police on him when they saw him breaking into his car. It was his car.
Wow.
He was trying to get into it, I guess.
Oh, that's crazy.
And the police came, and they said, "Sir, what are you doing?" And they arrested him. He said, "This is my car." Well, they somehow went to his house and found the gun, realized that he was not supposed to be carrying one. The poor guy gets 7 years in a federal institution for this.
Oh, the amount of time that's given for
crazy
for all kinds of crimes. And let me tell you, when I was in prison, I've heard so many stories like that, and it does. It blows my mind. And finally, we have a governor here in Connecticut who's trying to avoid that, because not only are people going to jail for situations like that, but there's also people who are getting their probation violated for all kinds of things where they should not be violated, where they should be reprimanded and given another chance.
Sure.
And because of the budget issues that we're having in Connecticut, which is, I think, is true of every state in the union, you know, they have to cut it down because it costs a fortune to take care of us, you know, now, whether we're in for life or whether we're in for a couple of years.
In your particular case, do you think you can win, that you can defeat this within yourself, these demons within yourself?
The way I look at it is I try to compare myself to someone who battles alcoholism. There's nobody, you know, there's no magic pill that can stop alcoholism, although there are medicines that can suppress the urges.
Right.
And in my situation, it's very similar. There's no magic cure, and I'm aware of that. But I'm also aware that my activities are against the law for a good reason, because I've hurt people, not just the victims that I've created, but also my family, my friends, everybody have been so hurt by my situation.
Were people shocked when this happened to you, when you got arrested?
Oh, they were shocked. And that's actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because I have had a lot of friends who are still supporting now that they know about my situation. However, they are supportive. But one of the things they said is that we didn't think you were like that. And that's kind of my whole point, because, George, let me tell you, there are a lot of people like me who are well-educated. I have a college degree, and, you know, but unfortunately, for one reason or another, have these temptations and these urges.
All right, Jay, I want you to hold on, because I want us to get your number, if it's okay with you. I may want to do a much more in-depth program with you and some other people about this. But prove me wrong, friend. Prove me wrong on this. I hope you do. We'll be back. Well, Full Moon Friday into Saturday morning now. Open lines. Hey, time for our traditional shout-out. And thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM worldwide. Those of you listening to your favorite radio stations across North America, 560-plus strong, thank you. Coast Insiders, thank you for all your support. Don't forget our Coast Insiders chat, a regular chat this time, computer chat, this coming Tuesday. XM Talk, Channel 168. And then the various other chat rooms and groups out there, the Imaginative World folks, Hello Into Infinity, Fantastic Forum 2, National Radio Club, Coast to Coast Elite Group, Sorcery IRC, MySpace groups, those that follow us on Facebook and Twitter, Yahoo Chat, Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, Above Top Secret, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, how about the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, and our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis. Thanks to all of you for supporting Coast to Coast AM. George Norrie back with you, Coast to Coast AM, and let's go to John in Los Angeles, west of the Rockies. Hey, John, thanks for holding so long.
Oh, that's okay, George. How you doing?
Good. Not bad.
I really enjoyed your book, Talking with a Dead.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
All right. the reason I'm calling, my nephew, one of his coworkers, they were talking, and her, I'm not sure if it's her boyfriend or her husband, but anyway, he's a social worker, and he has a family, and who had a four-year-old boy, and the boy got sick and he passed away. So the family was just devastated.
Oh, sure.
And they didn't want to live in that house anymore. So he had another family that was homeless and needed a place. It kind of worked out. Well, he found a place for them, and they moved right in this apartment. Well, the woman moved in. She has, I think it was three children, and she suffers from autism. So he noticed she was uncomfortable there in the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat her down and asked her how she was doing, and she told him that she sees a little boy.
Wow.
And the problem is he always looked like gray flesh and black eyes.
Yeah.
Really horrible.
Yeah, very scary.
So he went home and told his wife, and he didn't really believe in the paranormal or anything. So about a week later, he went back and asked her how she was doing. And she said, well, she starts seeing the boy more and more often. And she was all right with it as long as he didn't harm their children anyway, to talk to him. But while he was sitting there, he noticed her eyes moving. And all of a sudden, she touched him and told him that the boy was standing in the hallway. And just before she told him this, he felt like a cold wind go right through him. And he turned to look at the hallway and just in time to see the door close.
Well, you know what? As long as the little kid didn't scare or hurt the other kids, you know, it's so many films you see these apparitions. They look pasty with black eyes. They are very, very scary. That's a good ghost story, by the way, though. John, thank you. Let's go to Justin in Hilo, Hawaii. Hi, Justin, on the Big Island there. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going?
It's going great.
Long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you.
Yeah, what I wanted to talk to you about, I've been trying to get a hold of you for a while. I know this may sound kind of weird, but like ever since I moved to the Big Island, a lot of people here, you know, have been saying like there's a lot of energy and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just had like a lot of really, really intense dreams here. I've died in my dreams, like actually like died and then like gone to like different, I guess, different scenarios. Like one of my dreams, I was living in this house, and they said that the room that I was living in was a little haunted. Like a lot of people would never like turn off their lights in their room when they slept there. It was like kind of like a
scared
house where
death.
Like there was roommates. So the room was always turning with different people, you know?
Yeah.
And so I fell asleep, and I had this dream where I had died. I burned alive, or I got stabbed. I can't remember exactly which.
Yeah.
So I died, and then I was in this room with all these different like people with like long beards and stuff, and they're asking me all these questions like, hey, like, you know, you're dead. And I'm like, okay, I'm dead. Well, what do you mean? And they're like, well, you died on Earth. You died. And so they're like, why did you do this? And why did you love these people? And I'm like, I want to go back. You know, what am I doing here? They're like, you can't go back. And I'm like, and they're like, well, why do you want to go back? I'm like, I love my family. I love, like, I want to eat pizza again. I want to do this. And like, I screamed and everyone was like quiet, you know?
Yeah.
And so he's like, well, we gotta give you a job. So he like gave me this like shipping job, and so I was going all over the universe and stuff, delivering goods and stuff. And so I kind of like changed my route, and I went back to Earth, and I broke through like this, like it seemed like a tear, and like I don't know, maybe like a different dimension or whatever. But
yeah,
I ended up getting back to like Earth and getting back to my where I was living and stuff. And I went up to all my friends. I was like, oh, Fred, like this and that. And then like, they all stopped and were like, oh, did you hear that? I think that was Justin. Maybe his ghost is here. and it just freaked me out. I ended up waking
see
up
you.
And like,
oh.
And yeah, it was just, it was such a crazy dream. And then, I had another one where I was.
Well, then that's all. Like, I've only got time just for one more, Justin. You're breaking up a little bit, but that would freak me out. And thank God it was only a dream. You don't. You don't want that to be real. Ben, let's go to Nico in Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Nico.
How you doing, George? Good evening.
Good, Nico. Thank you.
Well, I don't know how many people here in Chicago are going to listen. They cut out Coast to Coast on 890 here on the big 890.
We're working on a new one for you.
Oh, really? Nice.
Good.
I got a Wi-Fi anyway, so I got you crystal clear. But
oh, perfect.
Anyways, really fast, Alex Jones. The other, like a week ago or so, when you had him on for like half of the night, me and my buddy Tom both agreed it was the two favoritest people on the radio right there, and is one of the best shows, you know, personally, I think, that, you know, in a while.
Well, you know, Alex is a patriot.
They're all great.
He, you know, a lot of people, he ruffles some feathers, but you know what he does, he doesn't make this stuff up. He goes out he gets the real stories and he just reports them.
Right.
And you know, people think, oh, my God, how could this guy say this or that? These aren't his stories. He's going to get them, you know.
Right. And that's what led me and my buddy to come to the idea to, and for me to call you and ask you, maybe you should have him on since things are getting, like, you know, day by day and month by month worse and worse with, you know, politics and these technocrats and the government and not everything, you know. Maybe you should just have him on for like 10 or 15 minutes or so, or maybe even 5 minutes for a fast recap of the news every night or something.
He's pretty busy these days, Nico, doing his own TV and radio stuff. I don't want to run him into the ground, but.
Oh, I know that.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, he is. Well, thanks, George. I appreciate
it. Okay, Nico. All right. You be well. Let's go next to Mike. Good old Mike in Livermore, California. Hey, Mike.
George, I always know when you're going to me.
There's how do you know that?
Well, your voice raises. I don't know what it is.
What do you mean? You know? Like it gets really high and squeaky? Like, let's go to Mike in Livermore, California.
Squeaky, but just like this little extra edge of enthusiasm. Like, where's Mike going to take me tonight?
Ah, very interesting.
How you been?
I'm fine.
About a month and a half.
I'm good. I'm in St. Louis, going back to L.A. in a couple weeks. My daughter's here. She's planning her wedding, and of course, Daddy's helping her, and we're going to do that. Then I head back to L.A. I got lots to do, a lot of speaking engagements. I've got one, I think, at the Ball Theater coming up. Lots happening these days.
Well, I know you're going to be coming our way in June, down to the Marriott in San Jose for Conspiracy Con.
I'm going to be there. I didn't know where exactly it is. Tommy's the holder of my keys there, but
I understand. Tommy's coming along, of course, right?
He probably is. Probably.
Well,
is,
yeah. You will have the services of me, a local, to get you around or get you whatever you need, because our friend Mr. Dan Dillman from the Bow Theater will be having a booth there to promote the week after for his Truth Quest.
Oh, good for him. Okay, all right.
You know, and I think you did the Skype on that.
I did that a couple years ago, didn't I?
Yeah. I'll keep it short. I know we got a bunch of callers coming on.
They keep coming, Michael.
Yes, of course. Well, that's you, George. You bring them. You know, you do the prayers. You get the audience to do prayers. I just want to ask for a quick prayer tonight for a dog named Dominique who's lost. And you know me, I'm out in the dog park with my dogs right now, and you know my involvement with dogs and rescue and working for the SPCA.
Yep, and you're great about that
sort of stuff. The dog went missing a few hours ago, and they were just out here looking for it, and I got their number. And if everybody can put their energy and their prayers, so Dominique, come find Mike from Livermore at the dog park. Maybe we can reunite him tonight.
When did the dog take off tonight?
Just about 3-4 hours ago, they said.
They let him loose and he just went nuts, huh?
I I didn't get the full story, but it's not the first time. I mean, I called in for a Christmas miracle one night.
I know.
And had that dog. I'm out here in the rain. Why would it be out here in the rain? Well, that dog needs to find me so the people would come and find me and put him back together again. That's what I do.
How long are you going to hang out there?
Oh, until the end of the show, at least.
Man, that's devotion. To the show and to the dog.
Yeah.
You're one of a kind. Okay, Mike. Well, we'll do a little prayer for you. Maybe the dog will show up. Let's hope so. Jason is in South Carolina. Welcome to the program. Hi, Jason.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Okay, Jason. Thank you.
Happy Easter to you and all your listeners out there.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it's Sunday. I can't believe it already.
Yeah. Nobody here knew it. My boss didn't even know. He was like, oh, shoot, 2 days ago. He was like, we're going to shut down. We can all have off.
Yeah.
But this will be my daughter's second Easter, so maybe she'll realize what's going on a little more. But I was just calling because a couple weeks ago or whatever, I was listening to an old Coast show. It was Art Bell, and he had open caller lines. And he said, if the Antichrist is out there, I'm going to leave a line open for the Antichrist to call. And he had people call up saying they were the Antichrist. Well, I thought it might be interesting to have a segment or maybe a line open for people that have sold their soul to the devil.
Right, we had one of those. Yeah,
oh, you did.
Yeah, but look, they're great shows, and it doesn't mean we can't do it again.
Yeah, I like your the supernatural and the demonic shows. When are you having another one of those?
Soon, as a matter of fact, and they're great on Fridays, aren't they?
Yes, sir. And one other comment: the guy that called right before the break.
The fellow from jail, or the other guy? Okay.
Yeah. It took a lot of guts for him to call. I don't know how he called you from jail.
No, he's out. He's out. He's out now.
Okay. Well, a long time ago, I was 19 years old. I'm 34 now. But I got convicted of carnal knowledge with a minor in the state of Virginia. And every year the law changes and I have to comply. I pled guilty to it. I didn't go to trial or anything. I just took the plea bargain they gave me.
Right.
And I was supposed to be off the registry in 10 years. Well, it's 15 years later. I'm still on the registry. Not only do I have to register, I got to register quarterly, and it affects my family and everything else. And, I mean.
How old were you when this happened?
Kind of like, I was 19. The girl was 15. I had failed a grade in middle school. So I was 18 going into my senior year. And I was dating a girl, and her dad was the music director at the school. And he didn't like me dating his daughter, and we kept dating. And
I bet at that age, 19, and she was 15, I bet you two didn't even.
Peer, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you didn't even know you were doing anything wrong at that point.
Well, I mean, I knew I was over 18, so it was illegal, but I didn't. I was like, she's my peer. I was stupid, but now it affects me the rest of my life. And I feel like it's kind of like the Salem witch hunt trials out there, because before this happened to me, if I heard the word sex offender or knew one was living by me, I'd be like, let's roast them.
Right.
But,
I wouldn't categorize you. I would not categorize you, Jason, as a sex offender.
Well, nobody would, but, I mean, the people that know me and everything. But, I mean, the fact is, though, I almost lost my job here because they have these papers now that have everybody in there that's a sex offender in the area. And they just throw a dollar, and people buy them, and everyone here at work reads them. And I came to work one day, and it was in the break room, and it was flipped right open to my picture.
No.
Yeah, and I had to basically make my job, and... luckily, I kept it because
You know what? In your case, Jason, just say, look, I was 19. I was a kid, and I dated a girl who was young, and it wasn't right. But we were young kids. We liked each other.
My thing is
not like you were 35 years old.
That's usually what Ian Punnett does. He usually does the legal stuff and the law stuff. You do the supernatural and all that. But that'd be a good episode maybe for people to, I mean, there are really nasty people out there. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, no doubt about that. Yeah.
I kept switching, I kept moving, and every time I moved, I had to start my group all over again. They make you take like a Alcoholics Anonymous, like I'm a Sex Addict Anonymous, or, I'm a pedophile. And I had to go to these groups. It took me 3 years before they let me out because I kept moving, so I was going to new groups. And I've seen a lot of sickos out there that, that they don't belong out on the street, but then there's a lot of people like in a situation like me, and it just sucks that it's, everybody's out there. Nobody's going to defend us. You know, nobody's going to go out there and say, hey, these guys aren't all bad.
They should not be putting you in that category.
Well, that's, you know, I just, I don't know what to do with my situation. I'm worried for my daughter because kids are mean.
It's rife. That's a tough call for you, Jason.
I mean, I don't mind if the police know where I'm at and what I'm doing or whatever, but for the public, first of all, when I was released, the public wasn't even allowed to see me, only the police and schools. Like if I applied at a daycare or something for a job, those are the only people that were able to see me on the registry. Well, every year it changes. When the law changes, it's retroactive for everybody. It's not like, you know, parole, like, you know, 97 parole ended. But if you're convicted before 97, you still have a parole date?
And let me ask you a question, Jason. And I guess the legal age is 16 for consulting person.
The state I was in,
if you were 17, would that still have been illegal for you her?
Nope. It would have been legal.
It would have been legal.
You
would have been okay. Okay. But the minute you go past 18, you're the guilty one, they say, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's correct.
Better way to understand that. All right. Well, thanks for the call, man. That's a tough call. I mean, that's a situation that hopefully does not follow you for the rest of your life. You know, young love, I think, is a little different. We're not arguing the merits of right or wrong, but young love is a little different than pedophiles from grown men who take advantage of children and do those things. That's not what you are, obviously. So let's hope it works out for you. We're going to take this break. We're at the top of the hour already. We're going to come back with another hour of open lines for you on Coast to Coast AM. We've got a great week of shows for you. We've got Mr. John B. Wells on Saturday. And George, let's say Ian Punnett, I think, is going to be on this Sunday. This is Ian does one Sunday a month for us. And that's what he's going to have on Easter Sunday. So thank you for working, Ian, as our pledge to you to continue with live shows on holidays all the time. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment with more open lines on Coast to Coast AM.